The Houthi rebels have been launching long-range missiles into Israel along with drones. Israel is responding to that. Hostage negotiations have come to a stalling point, getting nowhere. The IDF is preparing new tactics for Hamas in Gaza. And the Russians have apparently accidentally shot down a commercial airliner, killing half the people on it. The new Syrian leader is moving toward peace and democracy in the midst of the turmoil in Syria. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Jude with Lion of Lamb Ministries, and this is another edition of Messianic World Update. We're in the holiday season between Christmas and New Year's, and happy Hanukkah to all of you that are celebrating that. And here's the news for the week. Long-range missiles from the Houthi rebels have been coming into Israel almost on a daily basis. They come in the middle of the night. Air raid sirens go off. All the people in Israel have to go to the bunkers. People are not happy about that. Israel has been successful in shooting them down. In fact, several of them have been shot down by the Arrow 3 anti-missile system, which means they shot them down above the stratosphere. Smaller drones launched by the Houthi rebels are also making their way into southern Israel, and those have been successfully shot down as well. And so it's a constant thing in an irregular fashion coming into Israel, causing great turmoil. Israel is responding with long-range bombing attacks. Refueling is needed for it. This is a stretch for the Israeli Air Force to do it. And just recently, they hit the airport and the control towers and the other areas besides the ports that they've been hitting with the Houthis. The Houthis are definitely taking heavy damage. Along with them, the U.S. Navy is also carrying out strikes on the Houthi rebels from the Red Sea. This last week, an F-18 accidentally got shot down by one of our own guided missile cruisers. And we're not quite sure exactly how that happened, but another F-18 was almost shot down and they just missed. So air operations and the whole battle group that's there with the Navy, they got some procedures they need to clean up to keep from shooting down their own aircraft. The Houthis are being hit, strongly being hit. However, they're fanatical about fighting against Israel and the Western powers. The Mossad chief in Israel has suggested that the best way to deal with the Houthi rebels is for Israel to hit Iran, because Iran is the only one that seems to control the Houthi rebels, and they believe that's the only effective way to influence the Houthi rebels to cease and desist from shooting at Israel. It's very clear from a military tactic standpoint that missiles alone and bombs alone are not going to defeat the Houthis. There has to be another way to reach them, either troops on the ground and or Iran, their ally, gets them to change their point of view. Netanyahu wants to avoid striking Iran for that purpose, even though the Mossad chief recommended it. Iran is moving toward building a nuclear weapon at a very rapid pace. There's no question about that. I think Netanyahu is waiting and hoping that the U.S. will deal with Iran and the Houthis themselves. When President Trump comes into office, I think he's going to have something to say about it. And rather than calling on Israel to do certain things, he may step up and do some things from the U.S. standpoint. At this point, it's an intolerable situation, and it's going to have to be addressed. Iran and the Houthis have to be addressed. We'll see what President-elect Trump does in his foreign policy, and I think Netanyahu is waiting to see what that is as well. Meanwhile, the hostage negotiations, where last week we thought there was some optimism, has suddenly come to a standstill. The negotiators have returned again back to Israel. Here's the key issues in the negotiation. Hamas wants to survive and find some way in a negotiation so they can survive. The PA, the Palestinian Authority, wants to include Hamas in the future for the control of Gaza. The PA wants to step in and control Gaza. However, Israel has stated very clearly they want Hamas dead. They do not want Hamas to ever to be able to operate again. So you can see that the basis of negotiations kind of has a problem. Somebody's going to have to yield. Now, the way the Palestinians negotiate, the way Hamas and all of them negotiate, let me just explain to you in simple terms. They will not agree to anything unless, in their mind, they see Israel losing. In other words, Israel has to lose more than Hamas or the Palestinians. And this is the reason why in previous negotiations, you see Israel turning over hundreds and thousands of prisoners in exchange for one or two hostages in the course of it. That's the way Hamas thinks. That's the way the Palestinians think. Israel has to lose more. However, Israel has said, no, this time we want certain hostages released first. We want the names of those hostages. We want to know who's alive and who's dead for the negotiations. Hamas has never been able to deliver that list of how many prisoners they have, what are their names, and who are still alive. Part of the reason why I think they're hesitant to do that is that once you have that list and you say, well, these are the guys that are alive, you have to come up with an explanation of how did the other people die. And of course, that leads to war crimes, and that leads to Hamas terrorists who purposely killed hostages. And Israel is going to exact revenge for that. So Hamas is afraid of doing that. In the meantime, it looks like it's going to take a miracle to be able to get an agreement, to be able to get those hostages out of Gaza. Well, we're in the season and the holiday of where miracles happen. And so we're praying that this holiday season, a great miracle will happen there with regard to the release of the hostages being kept by Hamas. The IDF is now stepping up and looking to new tactics in Gaza. Formerly, Trump has said to Israel, end the war quickly and win. So he's basically given them a green light, get in there and get the job done. You have to understand that going into Gaza, into those dense villages and cities, it's urban warfare. And in warfare, urban warfare is the most difficult type of warfare for an army to have to deal with. It's like siege warfare. You have to lay siege to a whole area. Siege tactics includes cutting off water and power and restricting foods and evacuating citizens, forcing citizens out. But President Biden put restrictions on Israel and would not allow them to do any of those kinds of things in dealing with Hamas. With Biden now leaving, Trump coming in, it appears that those tactics are going to change, and Israel is going to be able to employ some siege tactics to be able to break and cause the release of the hostages. They're offering money and all kinds of methods to try to incentivize Hamas, give up the fight, and let's end it. In the meantime, the IDF is continuing to find and destroy tunnels, but they're also losing soldiers, one or two on a daily basis, in the process of that urban warfare. Last week, we talked about the shortage of water that was inside of Gaza in certain communities. Israel has successfully got another desalination water plant operating so they can get more water into the Gaza. And they're also guarding the aid trucks to be able to get the aid to the people and not resupply Hamas operatives, although Hamas is still trying to steal the aid and still trying to do the things they're doing. The Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, in the West Bank and in the Palestinian cities of Samaria, are battling terrorists. And several terrorists have been killed. There's also some PA policemen that have been killed as a result. One of the terrorists got out, went into the city of Herzliya, that's a Jewish city in Israel, stabbed and killed an 83-year-old woman. And it just further incentivizes Israel that we've got to get these terrorists out of the Samaria and Judea area, and we need to find a way of cracking down on them. Israel has stepped up their efforts in that regard. Certain Palestinians operating as reporters and aid workers, who in truth, in fact, are using that as a cover as terrorists, Israel's rooting them out, finding them, and not only taking them out, but is also taking those news agencies to task, and those organizations that hired them are using for cover, taking them to task, removing them. If you remember, we talked about UNRWA, the UN agency. Many countries are now not funding it anymore because too many of the Palestinian Hamas terrorists were operating and using that organization as cover for them. Sadly, the Russians have accidentally shot down an airliner. The airliner was carrying a little more of 100 people. Apparently, it was off course by 100 miles because of some other activity. I'm not quite sure exactly what it was, but the airliner was traveling along fine when all of a sudden it was shot at by the Russian air defense. Based on the crash evidence of where it landed, why they have found shrapnel damage, so it appears that it was a Russian anti-aircraft gun, not a missile, that hit them. And so there's an investigation underway for that. As I said, it was more than 100 miles off of its normal course. Israel has now stopped all flights into Moscow because of the activity, and other airlines are doing the same, considering the same, concerning the Russians and the way they protect their airspace. There's a new Syrian leader in Syria. He was one of the rebel leaders. His name is Ahmed al-Sharara, and he's taking steps to bring peace to Israel. Now, it's kind of interesting how he's doing it. He's wearing a nice-looking suit instead of a combat uniform, and the U.S. has met with him. They removed the $10 million bounty that was upon him. They're actually, the U.S. is encouraging Israel to speak with him because the man is talking about being at peace with Israel. But in the midst of all of that good thing going on, the Syrian police that are trying to deal with the remaining terrorist factions that are in Syria, many of those policemen are being killed, and there's combat going on in Syria, Syrian upon Syrian. And the Syrian police apparently are getting fed up with it, and apparently they're hanging people publicly in the streets. So it's a lot of turmoil in Syria. A lot of people are standing back. I think Israel is standing back watching. Let's see how the dust settles. Let's see what really takes place. In the meantime, the U.S. is still going in bombing missions in Syria and hitting ISIS strongholds and trying to defend against the Kurds who are protecting ISIS prisoners. And the U.S. is taking advantage of what's going on in Syria to do that. Israel also is still bombing former Assad-controlled areas, especially up toward Tartus, the coastline, northern coastline, and taking out Assad's former military hardware. I think the new Syrian leader is going to ask Israel to refrain from sending in more bombing missions, but we'll see how that all settles out as things begin to calm down. The IDF wants to set up a buffer zone in the southern part of Syria, the northern part of Israel, to protect the northern border of Israel, to allow Israeli citizens to go back into their homes in those northern communities. Bottom line for the whole situation in Syria, this is very bad for Iran and Hezbollah. This was the corridor for Iran to send shipments to Hezbollah. So Hezbollah effectively is completely cut off from Iran now, has no resupply and no support from coming from Iran. Iran has reached out diplomatically to the new Syrian leader. I don't know that that will go anywhere because the U.S. is very much opposed to that. The Russian support is also waning and pulling back. And so it essentially, bottom line is this is not working out for Iran at all. The Biden foreign policy that we've been living with for the last 4 years is finally dying. And Trump's election has already caused great changes to take place in the Middle East. And people are expecting more changes yet to take place. And I would add positive changes that are getting ready to take place in the Middle East. Netanyahu is on trial, but at the moment his trial has been delayed because of the war and all the activity going on. The Knesset wants the Attorney General of Israel to be fired. The Attorney General is the one that's causing a lot of this difficulty for Netanyahu and others. And in fact, the Attorney General this last week went further to say she wants to investigate Sarah Netanyahu, the wife of Benjamin Netanyahu, claiming that she's interfered with certain key witnesses in the process. It's just a giant mess that's going on. The judicial independence is at stake, and this was the controversy that was going on before the October 7th war began. If you'll recall, back several years ago, former Prime Minister Olmert was convicted of bribery and breaking trust with the government of Israel in the performance of his duties. He was convicted, and he not only was put on trial, but he went to prison for a while. And so you have this history of the judicial branch essentially taking on prime ministers. Well, Netanyahu clearly is trying to keep Israel united during the war, and so that's part of his resistance against what he believes is an overstepping on the part of the judicial branch. And I would imagine that as the war winds down, this subject is going to come up into the news even more so as Israel tries to sort out how do we put checks and balances in place for the legislative branch, the executive branch, and the judicial branch of their governments like we have here in the U.S. Here in the U.S., this is kind of a strange story. Walmart has stopped selling T-shirts on their online shopping network that has Sinwar and Nasrallah on the T-shirts, standing, holding AK-47s, real bold picture of them, where they're saying, we will win or die. In other words, it's a political statement supporting Sinwar and Nasrallah. They finally have pulled those T-shirts. They're not selling them anymore. But they also have other political anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian shirts available. And it just goes to show you that even here in America, you know, what in the world is going on? And it goes along with some of the protests, pro-Palestinian protests that we have going on in campuses. And when it comes to U.S. campuses, there's been an investigation that has been done here recently of the events that happened last year, all the pro-Palestinian protests that were on the campus. They have found that the campuses were complicit in not stopping anti-Semitic activity. The Trump administration has stated very clearly that when they come in, they intend to hold those campuses accountable for what's been going on. There's certain laws and funding the government gives these universities and these campuses, and they're going to hold them to that, that they have to maintain freedom and protect Jewish students while they're on the campus. More controversy here in the U.S. with regard to that. Liberals, of course, don't want to be told anything that they have to do, even if it makes sense and uses common sense, particularly. All right. We need all of us to pray for those hostages in this time of miracles. And we need to consider all that's still going on. We're still in the final days of Biden presidency before the president comes in. Joe Biden's going to be probably pardoning some other people, and he's probably going to be making some decisions and signing into law things that we're probably going to have to undo and not like into the future. But everybody's watching to see exactly what he's going to do. Thank you for viewing this program. Thank you for being a part of lionandlamb.tv. That subscription service enables you not only to get these broadcasts without interruption, but also to see the whole plethora of teaching materials that we have if you have an interest in Israel, the Middle East, Bible prophecy, and our faith. Thank you again for being part of this broadcast, and happy Hanukkah to all of you.